Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healing is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it.
Understanding and healing painful emotions can sometimes be difficult when we have experienced major natural disasters like the one occurred in April 2015 in Nepal. These negative emotions are addictive emotional responses which we use to feel alive. According to Chris Grissom, the antidote to fear, anger, and guilt is an expanded holographic consciousness, an awareness of our connection to the divine source. With this awareness, we do not have to fear being separated from anyone or using anything. To help develop this expanded awareness, she provides a new technology of consciousness, which includes breathing techniques, visualizations with color, and consciousness-expanding exercises that allow us to truly awaken the fearless self and soar to the new heights in our life. Chris Griscom is an internationally acclaimed spiritual teacher, healer, and visionary author of 14 books, which have been translated into 13 languages, being the world's leading authority on reincarnation. Ms. Griscom founded the Light Institute of Galisteo, a renowned spiritual healing center located in Galisteo, New Mexico, and the Nisoni School for Global Consciousness. Her work has inspired and touched people across the globe. In this show, she will share with us her wisdom on overcoming the fears, anxieties, and anger that can keep us from living liberated, abundant, and fulfilling life when we experience a major life crisis. Dear Chris, thank you for joining us today.
It's my honor, Luciana, and to all of you.
I know your heart is very close to the people in India, so it was the main topic of your Sunday evening knowings class. Would you like to share some of it with us today?
Certainly. You know, because of what has just happened in Nepal, I felt that it was very important to begin to help all of us to recognize that when something happens in the world, it happens to us because we are a soul family. And so we have something to offer when there's a disaster, when people die in shock or in violence. We can contribute through our consciousness to help them to lift up. The important thing to recognize is that when people die that way, they are entrapped usually in the lower levels of astral because it's confusing. All of a sudden you're there and now you're not there. And so I was given from higher energies a technology of consciousness to help the spirit of people to lift up and find their place so that they can go on and not be entrapped in these lower astral energies. And that's what we were talking about. We were practicing what we call exercises in consciousness at my knowings class. I was given this technology many, many years ago when massive groups of people were being slaughtered in Syria. And the energies that gave this to me said it was smothering the earth. And we never think of that, do we? And so we had to lift these spirits up and free them for the health of the earth, for Gaia, as well as for all of the energetics that are a part of those kinds of suddenly departing from the body.
If fear is with us all our life, what is its purpose?
Well, you know, some people say fear is useful because it can help protect us. I have a totally different perspective on that, of course, because I look at the infinite incarnations of the soul. So I see no purpose in fear, except that it's a point of truth. It says, I am overwhelmed. And one of the great teachings of death is to recognize that we're part of a cosmic flow and that energy never dies, it just changes form. So what we want to do is to learn how to dissolve our fear and to find out, first of all, is this mine? It's one of the great teachings I'm putting in a book right now that I'm doing about healing. Because many times we have a fear of something, maybe a fear of another group or a fear of survival, and it's really been passed down to us by our parents and our parents' parents in what I call psychogenetics. So first of all, it's important to recognize, is this my fear? Am I really afraid here, or am I just reacting out of some genetic patterning? You know, and if it is our fear, then we can clear it energetically, because fear is not a concept, it's an energy. And so if we are afraid of death, for example, then we will never expand enough to really use our incarnation, to use our lifetime. So we want to get rid of the fear that we have. There's so much fear and anger that happens for those who don't die, for example, in Nepal. All of the people who have not died are filled with fear that it could happen to them, the sense of loss, of being overwhelmed. Fear is always about contraction, that life overwhelms us, whether it's a person or it's nature. Something makes us helpless and makes us victims. And this is very important to release from the planet, from ourselves, and collectively on this time. Because this is a pivotal lifetime. And none of us are here to be victims. None of us are here to be overwhelmed. But we are here to recognize that every experience influences our evolution, you know, the evolution of the soul. So I work a lot with people when someone in their family dies. And I say to them, this is a graduation for you, because all that you projected onto this person, now you can have the legacy of that person, all the best qualities that they have will come into you without even thinking about it. And it will give you that uplifting energy to go on. So it's very important to see death in a different way, not as separation, because my own higher self, my own inner consciousness, my own inner voice always says that, again, there is no separation. There's simply that we come to recognize in larger spheres, like a rock dropping in a pond, the meaning of life and the purpose of all experiences. And as we grasp that, then we use life and we can use the experience of death. I speak very clearly on this, Luciana, right now, because my own father has just died. And in fact, tomorrow I am traveling to perform the ceremony of his death. And so I am very aware in my family and in myself, all of the conversations. What does it mean when someone you love dies, as well as feeling a disaster of thousands of people?
Yes, I'm sorry for your loss, Chris. And actually, my uncle is a dear person for me who stepped in after my father died. Just died also some weeks ago. So for our listeners, what can you tell us about the conception of the inevitability of death?
I didn't quite catch it. What can I tell you about the what of death?
Yeah, for our listeners, what can you tell us about the conception, the idea of the inevitability of death?
Yes. Well, again, if you could imagine that you have many lifetimes and to know that death means that you have finished. One of the things that I learned a long time ago is that, for example, a parent, my father, your uncle, they never pass from their bodies until they have finished the karmic cycle with their children or the people that are close to them. And this is why sometimes people will linger for a long time before they die. They are waiting for the family members to be able to accept and to be able to actually graduate from the relationships, because we don't lose a relationship with someone when they pass from their body. We just now take on energies from them that serve our lives. And that's how they live on. They don't really die. Their body dies, but not their consciousness, not their soul. And so, but this is a two-edged sword in a way, because on the one level, you will inherit the best qualities of people that you've been close to. They pass to you. That's their legacy. That is how they live on. They pass to you their best qualities. The other side of that is that we have to actually let them go and stand, as a Native American would say, when you have walked 5 miles in my moccasins. So it means that we have to stand then and reinvent ourselves, taking on their qualities, so that they live on through us, but we have to go on. And this is the hard part about death, is that all of our religions and all of our emotions teach us that we should grieve for a long time. In fact, in the Judeo-Christian ethic, I think in all cultures and religions, we feel that we are loving children or good people or spiritual beings if we grieve for a long time. Grief is a normal result of the loss of someone. But we have to recognize that the grieving is about our own sense of loss. It's really about ourselves. So when we look at our lives and imagine that now we have truly have help from them, not that they're waiting for us, although they often do wait for us in the astral. And that's why, as we talk about perhaps how we can help Nepal, one of the things that I always say when I'm lifting spirits out of the lower astral is, go home to those who are waiting for you, who love you. Because I've been at many, many deaths, Luciana, and I have seen the spirits of relatives actually wait for people or come for people. And it happened just with my father. It was such an amazing thing. Right before he died, 2 days before he died, I was walking down the hall and suddenly this huge light appeared and my grandfather's face smiling and very bright in the light came. And I knew then that my father was about to die because they weren't expecting him to die. And I knew that he was going to die very suddenly, very quickly, and that his father had come for him. So I always say to the spirits, go home to those who love you, who are waiting for you. And they may be coming from many lifetimes, not just this lifetime. But it helps people who whose consciousness is confused to feel strong enough to get in the avenue of white light and move up into the light. Shall I tell you the techniques that we use?
If you would, we would be honored. Yes, thank you.
And because, you know, all of you who are listening have the power and even connections on a soul level to all of those people who have offered, who have chosen that they could release their bodies at this time in this way so that we could amplify our compassion, so that we could converse about death, so that we could see ourselves in a new way, and not, oh dear, will this happen to us, but rather, how shall we use our lives to make a better world? So this is the technology that was given to me from higher consciousness. It's about drawing from the cosmos brilliant, brilliant white light, and that's because all of the radiance of the stars, of the moon, come from white light. Photon light is the essence of light itself, so that's why we use it. White light holds all of the frequencies of light, all of the colors and speeds. So we imagine that we're drawing the white light from the cosmos down through the top of your head. There's a vortex there at the top of your head. And we draw it down into the stomach area, which is called the solar plexus. That's the seat of the emotional body. It's very important to draw the white light down there. And then imagine that you are opening your stomach area and out comes this white light. And as it lasers out from you, it widens and creates a huge avenue of white light, and that avenue is like an escalator. It's a moving avenue of white light. And then as you feel that white light moving upward, very wide, then you fix in your mind's eye anyone you want to invite. You may fix in your mind's eye, before you call the white light, all of the people, for example, in Nepal, who have passed from their bodies. Maybe their bodies are still unfound or whatever. But bring them into your mind's eye, who it is that you want to offer the light to. Then you draw the white light in, you extend it out, and then you say to them, come, come and step onto this avenue of white light and go home to those who await you. Go home into the light. You are finished. You've done well. You are free. And they always, whether they're people that have died in a war or people who have died in an earthquake or an accident or died of old age, it doesn't matter who they are, they always, always reach into that light and travel upward. And it's so amazing to feel that. And then you just allow them to go up and up and up till you feel as if they've disappeared. And then you just take a deep breath and you have given a gift. It didn't cost you anything. It will not exhaust you. It doesn't take your energy. You are simply a beautiful human being, a vehicle of consciousness and love. And this is a tremendous opportunity for us all. So that's how it is. It's very simple. Yes.
Thank you for sharing such profound knowledge, Chris. In your book, The Healing of Emotion, Awakening the Fearless Self, you talk about the separation trauma. What can you tell us today about it?
About the...
the separation of trauma.
Separation. Oh, yes. Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Separation trauma.
Yes, because that's so much a part of the life and death theme, you know, is that when someone is taken from us and they've gone, they're finished in their body, we feel that separation. Now, what I was saying in that book, The Healing of Emotion, is that that's a pattern that humans have. Imagine that as a great soul, as a part of a cosmic soul, when we choose to incarnate, we break away. And so there's a separation there. And then we come into body, and then we are born, and there's a separation there. And then we are suckled by our mothers, and then there's a separation there. So that separation trauma is something that we do have a very profound recording of. And so we definitely see death in someone's passing from their body, from our perspective, and that's a lot of the grieving, that we've separated. We can't talk to them on the phone. We can't touch them anymore. And the gift of that is to realize that separation is not about loss. It's about graduation. It's about growing. It's about reaching to another level. A higher level of consciousness will help you to know that you're never separate from anyone. Death does not separate us. But it is your responsibility and the level of your consciousness to, on the one level, release someone into the light, and on the other level, gather to you that which represented them. Not because of the pictures, not because of the money, not because of the things that they left to you, but because of the essence that they left to you. If you touch that, you will not feel the separation. You will be able to go on from that. And it's an amazing experience. And so when I perform this ceremony of passage for my father in 2 days, or on Sunday, which is Mother's Day, interestingly here, one of the things that I always say when I perform the ceremony of death is, let us begin, each one of us, to hold in our mind's eye this person who has passed from their body, and then ask and feel, what is the quality that they want to give to us? Maybe we admired their compassion or their patience or their brilliance or whatever quality it is that that brought them close to us. Maybe it was that they loved us. You know? We want to be loved. We want to be a part of something. So we could feel that what they are giving to us as their legacy is that capacity to connect closely. It doesn't matter with whom, but that sense of being connected and being able to connect with another person, to love another person closely. That's one example of a legacy, of an attribute you might perceive. And then when we think of that, we just imagine that it's coming into our bodies so that every cell is holding that vibration. And that takes away a lot of the grieving and a lot of the sense of loss and helplessness and anger because part of them is instilled in us. And sometimes it's in funny ways. For example, when my grandmother died, she was a great gardener, and she loved hollyhocks. It's a particular tall flower. It's a beautiful flower. She had them all over her garden, and they have a particular smell. And after she died, I suddenly developed this passion for gardening and for hollyhocks. And I didn't really connect it to her for a long time. And I just filled my garden with them. And so you never know, you know, what it is unless you ask. What is the quality that I most admire in that person? And now, through their legacy, which means that they are passing it to me, it belongs to me. Another friend of mine had a very infectious giggle. She would laugh very loudly. Everything delighted her. And after she passed, after I performed that ceremony for her, I suddenly noticed that spontaneously I would begin to giggle that way. She gave that to me. It was a quality that I admired in her. And suddenly, without thinking about it, I could hear myself giggling. And when we feel when we recognize that we have been given a legacy from someone, then they're not dead to us. They're not separate from us. But we can go on. We do not have to stay in this place of the trauma of separation. But again, people leave because in their own soul's design, in their own matrix of purpose of life, they're finished. And when they finish, the energy ripples out from them and it comes into us. And we carry it on. You know, it's like somebody passing the ball to you and you carry it on. And when we have that, it comforts us. And we look around and we begin to be the one, for example, that exudes that quality, and it changes our relationships to other people. So that's what I would say, is that all of us as humans truly need to look at that fear of separation. It's an illusion. It's simply because we define ourselves through our bodies. We are not our bodies. Our bodies are a divine vehicle. And that's the book I'm writing right now. It's hoping to inspire us to not be afraid of death and to take care of our bodies in new ways. So that in the end, we, you know, now with the stem cell technology, we need not grow old. Our children may never die except when they say, I'm finished with this incarnation and I will go on. And so death can perhaps in the future be something that is honored and done consciously. There's a new world for us, and we came here to be a part of it.
I'm sure our listeners are already looking forward to your new book, as I am. And yes, I'm definitely sure about that. So as the leader authority in reincarnation you are, what can you tell us about time as an illusion?
Time is an illusion. That was my first book, Time is an Illusion. What I was saying in that book is that time travels in an arc. And so the past and the present and the future all collide within what we could call some kind of a, a cohesive holding, as if it were being held in the hand of our own soul. It's a pattern that we have. And so the reason, what I've discovered in doing this work, incarnational work, which I've been doing for 58 years now, it's a very long time, and is that the experiences that we have in our many, many incarnations of the soul flow through and from lifetime to lifetime, the bodies we select, the parents that we choose. Sometimes children say, well, you know, why did my parent die when I was young? They died because they had already given you the legacy, and you become that legacy. And so we needn't feel that we're abandoned. So often we feel abandoned by time, you know, that we've grown older, that we don't have what we had before. But if we could look from the perspective of many incarnations of the soul, you would feel the richness and all the potential in your life. Imagine lifetimes in which you've been a healer, you've been a great being of wisdom, you've been a fool, you've been a lover, you've been all things. And so you can, in your consciousness, begin to utilize those energies. The reason that I do incarnational work is that when we become aware of those lifetimes and we release them, we don't go, oh, I was a great being. No, we release the specifics of that lifetime. And then the energy flows back to us in this body, in this lifetime, effortlessly, and supports our life and quickens our evolution. So it's wonderful to have a glimpse of the lifetimes that we've had, but only in order to release them, even the really positive ones. And we never know what's in there. Next week, we facilitators at the Light Institute will be doing an intensive on ourselves, which will be followed by a public intensive. And I look forward to it so much. And I will again, for the 25th time, I think, clear my father. And I will see lifetimes that I've had with him. And this is another way that dissolves separation and helps us to see that we do inherit the best of those that we choose and call parents, who have been our children and our lovers and our teachers and our students in other lifetimes. So I think that it's crucial in this world to recognize that time is an illusion, that those things that have been a part of some other, quote, time zone are still locked in our genetic encoding. They are still a part of us. We even have simultaneous lifetimes. And so what do we do with time in a simultaneous lifetime? That happens because in the cosmic arena, time functions completely differently. But there is that arc of time. There is that linking up of past, present, and future. So that in the tradition of karma, but in a higher octave of how it's seen in India, karma is simply the law of cause and effect, action and reaction. It doesn't mean you're going to be punished for bad deeds. It just means that there's a ripple out. Everything is connected to everything. And that there's wonderful things. There are wonderful karmas that we all have, that are available to us, but we have to open to them. And so when we see ourselves in a bigger arena, it's easier to accept qualities and to be fearless, to say, I will venture forward. I will learn about myself. I will learn about invisible worlds. I will practice arts that we don't think we have the right to. We do. We can call the rain. We can quiet an earthquake. We can do so many things because it's our legacy and it's our right. So recognizing that we've had many lifetimes is very important. And when we do that, then time shifts. So we will say as a life, go back to a lifetime before this lifetime. But it's not real, you know. Its essence energy is in you. And your higher self would show you a lifetime that is pertinent, that belongs to what you are experiencing in this lifetime, even with the same people that you have walked with before. So incarnational work is, I think, key to amplifying human potential and taking away the fears that you have. Certainly when, by the time a person has seen 10 lifetimes and seen 10 deaths that they've had, their fear of death begins to dissolve.
You were telling us about our family constellation legacy. What can you tell us about the role of DNA in our life?
Yes. You know, DNA, we have not only the physical DNA that we inherit from our family, but we have emotional DNA, and we may inherit that emotional DNA from our children, because, again, time is an illusion, so your children may have been your parents, and they have brought you a genetic encoding. You may have spiritual DNA that we get from many lifetimes and many teachers, and having been teachers ourselves. And so it's important to recognize this helix. You know, we think of our DNA as being a two-stranded helix, two strands weaving together like an infinite figure eight going on. But the atom of ourselves, not the atom, but inside ourselves, the mitochondria, has three strands, some psychics and some intuitives, as well as myself. Have always said, we may have more than 12 strands of DNA in that helix. So the book that I'm writing is called Potential Body Helix of Enlightened Health, because the helix simply holds within it, through its strands, it holds a matrix of information. And so we have, again, in our genetic encoding, psychogenetics, which, again, psychogenetics means that you have inherited qualities, and could be intelligence, it could be intuition, it could be many, many things, as well as the color of your eyes, that are available in your body. They are a part of your genetic encoding. But we have to use consciousness to bring them to the fore so that we recognize them. Even in a simple way, for example, your uncle, you might think to yourself, as we were talking about earlier, what's a quality that you, Luciana, saw in your uncle, a positive quality? Because not only will he pass that to you as his legacy, but you would not notice that quality if you did not have it. And so that psychogenetic inheritance will come to the fore now that he has left his body. It might be his wit or his intelligence or his abundance or who knows, That's what's so exciting about exploring the world from these more subtle and true spiritual perspectives.
That's really beautiful. And you left me thinking, as I'm sure many of our listeners are thinking right now about that question. I think my uncle was a humanitarian. And now
military?
He's a real humanitarian. His heart was just made of, I don't know, gold. Or, he was such a great person. And now that he's gone to the other side, And I can still feel him with me, but I can feel him, sense him guiding me towards humanitarian acts. And so I'm sure our listeners might be thinking about things like we're talking now.
Yes, I hope so, because it's inspiring.
It is, because you find the meaning of this connection that we have with all our soul family.
Yes.
And in your book, Psychogenetics, the one you were talking about, The Force of Heredity, you talk about the ancestral chi. What can you tell us about it?
Ancestral chi is, you know, it's a word that's come down from Chinese medicine, really, and the Chinese had a great understanding. In fact, many, many cultures do all over the world. Chi is energy. It's lifeless energy. So ancestral chi talks about what you have inherited from your great-great-grandfather. And in many cultures, it is very, very essential to the life force of the culture and the continuance of that culture and people to honor and that ancestral chi. Now, in acupuncture, when a woman is pregnant at certain twice in her pregnancy, we would use needles, acupuncture needles, to release that ancestral chi so that it is not caught in the karmic aspects of our ancestors. But again, these wonderful aspects. And I want to say, in listening to you talking about how now you feel after your uncle has passed, this direction of humanitarianism, that is a classic example of inheritance of that ancestral chi. And he is guiding you, but you must let him go. Remember that he is a fully developed soul, and that as you saw him as a man and as your uncle, is a flicker of his consciousness, a flicker of his soul. And so it's very important to graduate. And that's what my higher self means. Death invites us. No, death pushes us, insists that we become the next octave. So you become the best of your uncle, and you carry that gift that he gave you of the awareness of humanitarianism to its next level. And that's the ripple out. That's the ancestral chi and the psychogenetics that makes a difference and helps us to let go of grieving and helps us to be inspired to say, I can carry the torch. I love that in the Olympics, you know, how the runner carries the torch and then he passes it to the next one who runs and passes it to the next one. And this is what life is. This is what ancestral energy is. We are no longer caught in the limitation of our ancestors. And yet through them, we have life force. We have capacities. One of the things that I said in that psychogenetics book is that the ancestral chi that comes from grandparents, which is skipping a generation, is a spiritual chi or a spiritual gift of wisdom. The parents are going to give the blood. They're going to give the embodiment. But the grandparents and before, the ancestors before, will give the spiritual chi, which means they will give the whispers of the potential of cosmos. That we are not separate, that time is an illusion, that we can access consciousness beyond the third dimension through all of that DNA, and specifically from my perspective, from the helix, the triple helix, the 12-strand helix and beyond, of all these threads that have come down to us. And when we know that, it gives us courage to let ourselves be powerful, to let ourselves step forward and be visible and make our lives count. We're not here to be born and to suffer and to die. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to carry the torch of evolution of humanity through all of our thoughts, through all of our actions, through all of our choices. And these thoughts and actions and choices are influenced by ancestral chi.
Yes. We are talking about your father, my uncle. Our listeners must be related with their own ancestors. I remember when my father died, I understood that as he had been, I was an experiencer too. Now that my uncle crossed to the other side, I understood that there are humanitarian genes inside of me too. So for our listeners, in this sense, what can you tell us about our parents as a reflection of our own consciousness?
Hmm. Of our own consciousness, you said, or of our own country?
Consciousness.
Consciousness, yes. First of all, it's very important to recognize that as souls, we travel with our parents again and again and again through many lifetimes. And when we're clearing parents at the Light Institute, I have people look down at the moment before conception and look at, why did you choose your mother? Why did you choose your father? What are the qualities there that are necessary for your own growth? Sometimes a person has a parent who seems to not love them or be mean to them. And so when we are able to see all of this from an incarnational perspective, we can see what that purpose is. So our parents, we choose them for the qualities, so we don't have to change them. Although my own higher self says that the parent is changed by its child, by its creation. So you influence your parents much more than you recognize. We often spend our lives trying to please our parents or become them or get rid of them, and we don't realize that we have influenced their evolution, their spiritual growth, by being born to them. And they have ours. And this is a very important recognition of a pattern of connection that goes on from lifetime to lifetime. It's really amazing to look at lifetimes with parents and see that they have been your lovers, they've been your partners, they've been your children, and they've been your students. And when we recognize these lifetimes and release them, then it frees us from our parents. I have noted that children often have no idea who their parents are. They see them in one particular light. My parents are this way, and they love me that way, or they treat me the other way. And they never see, who are my parents? Why did I choose them? And what can I learn from them? So one of the things that I say in all my books is that our blood relatives, your parents, your uncles, your cousins, your grandparents, and your sexual partners, are the two streams, let's say, genetic streams or soul friends who most influence your life, who most teach you and help you to have the lessons or learn the lessons that you have chosen, that you created to learn in a lifetime. So they're very, very special to us. And again, they are a part of how we become ourselves. And this is why it's so important to be able to let go of the crystallization of them, of the pain of separation. Again, especially with parents, they are those who have supported us. And so very often we feel abandoned. And this is why sometimes people feel anger when their parents die, because they feel abandoned, because they don't know that spiritually they have been offered graduation. They have been offered the gift to grow on and to be stronger than you thought you were and be more than you thought you were. So it's really amazing to see, to recognize our relationship to our soul families in the light of consciousness.
Regarding the feeling of abandonment you mentioned, what can you tell us about the realities of our inner child when we experience a major crisis?
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is that, first of all, Luciana, we have to separate out. When you say inner child, most people think of it in psychological terms. You know, that child inside you that might have been abused or wasn't loved, the emotional child, that child of all your childhood experiences. When I use the word inner child, I'm talking about the wisest person you've ever known. So the inner child is you as a child, but it's you connected to the cosmos. Children go in and out of their bodies all the time. They experience looking at spirits or knowing things. They see time as a blur. They don't recognize that it's, you know, 3 o'clock. They recognize that there are energies that are touching them at that moment. And so the true inner child, again, is the wisest person we've ever known. So that inner child has the connection of the cosmos. And that's the inner child who can help you to let go of, again, a pattern which you might have felt in your childhood. You might have felt abandoned or not loved as much as a sibling, and then grown up and found that your friends abandoned you, your teachers abandoned you. You felt that theme come up many, many times. So it's important to allow the wisdom of your true inner child, which is a spiritual energy, to support you. For example, if someone came to me and said, I have an issue of abandonment, we would go into memories of feeling abandoned, and then we would go into memories in this lifetime and perhaps in other lifetimes, not in the same session, but in which you, one, abandoned somebody else, so that you could see that from a holographic perspective. And two, lifetimes or memories in this lifetime when you felt happy to be left to yourself, where you felt powerful, where you felt free to explore, and you weren't thinking about, I'm not safe. Because what is abandonment? It's about, I'm not safe unless you protect me. So this theme is very prominent in the world today, because as a soul group, we are releasing our ancestral chi that has to do with God will do it for us, or the government will do it for us, or our partner will do it for us, or our parent will do it for us. No, we have the potential of envisioning something that we can do for ourselves, and that brings joy. It brings delight and creativity, not suffering. That's what I would say about being a child. It's a great way to remember that you are creative and loving and fearless. Children are very fearless, you know. Be taught to be fearful. They're not born fearful. They're taught to be fearful.
You were talking about living fearlessly. How can we awaken our fearless self after experiencing a major trauma?
You know, again, it's where we put our consciousness. If in the midst of something that's shocking, we stop and say, what is the gift of this? How can I offer something to this? Not, oh dear, I'm the victim of this. I have no power over this. Because we have power over very little except the choices of our consciousness. So when we stop and say, all right, this has happened to me because I'm powerful enough to have it happen to me on a soul level. How shall I give to it? That's how we get out of fearless, of being fearful. Fearful is when we contract and we lose our power and we curl up and we are waiting for death, we are waiting for whatever it is that we fear. Fearlessness is when we uncurl and we say, this is happening in my world so that I can contribute. The most powerful thing is that we can contribute is extending energy. For example, to the people in Nepal, the people that have gone, we practice that exercise of putting them in the white light and releasing their spirits. For the people who are in fear there now, we can simply help them to know that they are safe because they're alive and they have each other. And they have to view what is the purpose of surviving. So the way I would do that is to bring them into the mind's eye and ask them what color they need to release their fear. You could ask them where they're holding the fear in the body. We can do that for ourselves. Where am I holding fear at this moment? When we see a catastrophe on the news and the television, it triggers fear in us. We want to release that. So we could say, where am I holding fear at this moment? And then allow your consciousness to go to whether it's an organ or your fingertips or your brain or wherever it is. And then what color do I need to dissolve away, to wash away the fear? So we wash it away from ourselves. And then if we are thinking about the survivors in Nepal, we want to all help them. This is humanitarian in its highest octave. So we bring them into the mind's eye and we say, what frequency of light do you need from me to release your fear? and we draw that from the cosmos, like we did the white light, whatever color comes, draw it into the top of your head and extend it out through your stomach, your solar plexus, and extend it out like a beautiful laser of light into those people that will help them to not be afraid, to know that they are safe because they are still in their bodies. So it's simply where we put our attention.
So, dear Chris, we are in the last minutes of our show. Are there any last words you would like to give as a gift to all our listeners and to all the people in Nepal that might be getting a copy of this show? If they're not online, they can also download it as a podcast and share it with their friends.
Yes, I hope that they will download it and pass it to their friends so that everyone can hear this. And my final words would truly be to not be afraid of death, but to use life. You know, I've had 6 near-death experiences where everyone said, she's dead, and then I came back. Yeah. And what I was given by those higher energies was, use life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Not even death can harm you. So embrace life. And when something comes up that frightens you, face it and give energy to it, and it will dissolve away or it will change. And you will see that you have infinite potential and that you are safe. We are always safe, all of us. That's what I would say. Use life, my friends.
Thank you very much, Chris, for being with us today. It has been a great honor for all of us and for all the people that will be listening to us in the upcoming days. And
well,
thank you,
Luciana, for all that you do and the gifts that you give to allow the echoes of light and consciousness and truth to flow out into the world through your own wonderful psychic and powerful and healing vehicle. So we all thank you for letting us connect together. And we'll talk again, I hope.
Yes, I really hope that happens very, very soon. Thanks to you, thanks to all your team at the Light Institute, and hope to have you here soon with us.
Great love to you all, and we hold you in our hearts. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And thank you, all our listeners, all the people that are listening to our show online or on demand. We are here for and because of you. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for further inner healing news. Tune in for our next show. You know that we are here with you every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Peru time. We will be talking about emotional, mental, physical, existential, social, and environmental topics. We can all heal from within. Remember, we are all inner healers.